Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We are talking some Packers football this morning. We're one day away from the NFL draft, and we've got an NFL draft prospect on the phone right now as we speak. We have Al Netter, an offensive lineman from Northwestern, joining us. Al, how are you doing this fine morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
No problem. We appreciate you joining us. Now, Al, you were a left tackle at Northwestern, but I'm reading in some places on the internet here that you're projected to play guard in the NFL. Is that what you're hearing from scouts and teams, or you kind of like it at tackle?
Yeah, I mean, I played 4 years at Northwestern at left tackle, which I think gave me good experience for, you know, to show my athleticism, but at the next level, teams are telling me that they like me more at like the left guard position or even the right guard, maybe even center. But I also have heard from a few teams right tackle because my reach is about 6'9", even though I'm only 6'4". So teams still like me a little bit at that right tackle position, but more likely guard.
Now, being from Wisconsin, we follow the Packers a lot here, and we've seen the Green Bay Packers draft a lot of college tackles almost exclusively and not guards because they think their athleticism, they can play tackle or guard in the pros. Do you think your athleticism is a quality of yours?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm a very athletic offensive lineman, and it makes sense that the Packers would do that because I think the left tackle is one of the most demanding positions athletically on the offensive line. So I think it makes sense for them when they see tackles in college to move them inside because at that point it's just learning a new position, but you're going to have the abilities.
Speaking of the Packers, did you happen to talk to them, interview with them at all in the pre-draft process?
Yeah, I've talked with them a couple of times in the pre-draft process.
Fantastic. I'm sure our fans would love to see you wearing the green and gold. Now you received an invite to the East-West Shrine Game. How did that go against playing other guys who are projected to play in the NFL?
I don't know. It was a really cool experience. It was a real fun week the whole week. The first taste of the NFL, really. There's a lot of great players there, a lot of scouts, a lot of coaches. And I was able to, I played 4 years of left tackle in high school and 4 years of left tackle in college. So I never really have played anything besides that. And due to an injury on the first day, I moved into left guard, an injury of another guy. I moved into left guard and I played guard the entire week. So it was a good experience. And I think that I progressed throughout the week and showed scouts that I can play inside as well.
Now, you made 52 consecutive starts at Northwestern. Would you consider yourself to be durable? And I would assume you think teams value that.
Yeah, I think so. To be able to play 52 games, start 52 games, I think it shows that I have knowledge and I'm a smart player and also durable. I haven't had any injuries in those 4 years, and I think that I'm pretty lucky and blessed to have gone through for four straight years and be completely healthy.
Who's the best player you faced in college, facing some Big Ten competition? I'm sure you've gone against some good players.
Yeah, I think last year I had to face Adrian Claiborne, J.J. Watt, and Ryan Kerrigan all in the same year. Three first-round draft picks at defensive end.
So yeah, they're pretty good.
I think that they're pretty decent. So it just goes to show you that, if you're a lineman, I think the Big Ten is the premier conference for the next level.
We just had Drake Dunsmore on the show last week, and as a teammate of his, what can you say about him and his chances of playing in the NFL?
I mean, I think I really like his chances. He's kind of that tweener where his body's not huge, so he's not going to be your blocking tight end, and he's obviously not a receiver, but he brings a lot of skills to the table that I think a lot of teams are really interested about. He's a very athletic kid. He's a very smart kid. He's very motivated. I think he just has all the things that you want. He's a great leader. I think that he's going to go. I think he'll get drafted, and I think he'll have a very good career.
You were a captain for two seasons at Northwestern. Now, is your leadership something you can bring to a team, or maybe a better question is, how can you be a leader when you're the low man on the totem pole as a rookie?
Yeah, I think I can still bring my leadership qualities. I think obviously, it's going to be new to me to be a rookie, and there's going to be veteran leadership that is obviously going to be, overshadow what a young rookie is going to have to say. But I think you start by, leading within yourself, doing all the right things, showing up early for meetings, performing well on the field, and leading your other rookies in your class. And I think from there you build on that, and then you eventually become a great leader in the NFL.
Well, Al, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. We wish you the best of luck as just in a couple days, obviously a big event going on here. And if you happen to sign with the Green Bay Packers, we'd love to have you on again.
All right, that sounds great. I really appreciate you having me on here.
Thanks a lot. Good luck, Al. Al Netter, right, offensive lineman from Northwestern, joining us here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. So, finally, we're almost there. One day away from the NFL draft. Starts on Thursday night, though. Tomorrow's going to be a long day, isn't it? it's draft day, but then you got to wait till nighttime for it to get started. I suppose it's no different than waiting for a Packers game in prime time, though, huh? Same kind of feeling. But it's just about upon us. Just about. The moment we've been waiting for months, ever since the Packers season ended in January, unfortunately. It would have been better had it ended in February. That means they would have played in the Super Bowl. But great to have Al Netter joining us on the show. Wish him the best of luck. And good morning, everyone. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. And we are talking Packers football, talking NFL draft. I suppose just to get away from the draft for a little bit, the big news that happened yesterday in the world of the Green Bay Packers was the announcement of several important dates. And perhaps the most important of which is the date of the annual shareholders meeting. There were over 250,000 new shareholders this year. People who plunk down the money to become one of the newest owners of the Green Bay Packers. 250,000. That's just this past year. The newest stock sale. That ran from about December to February, if I'm correct. But, now here we go, and it's now all these people who bought stock are going to want to come to the shareholders meeting. And there's about, if I remember correctly here now, 360,000 total shareholders now. 360,000. So the question is, what's going to happen? Well, the Packers announced the date of the shareholders meeting. It's going to happen on Tuesday, July 24th. And the bigger news, perhaps, or just as important, is that all shareholders are only going to be allowed one ticket this year. In years past, they were able to bring guests along, up to four of them. Hasn't always been four. Sometimes it's been one or two. But in the past, it's been four, especially these past few years. But with 250,000 new owners of the Green Bay Packers, they don't know what's going to happen. The Packers are kind of playing wait and see. And they just can't really predict what's going to happen. They said they have room for about 50,000 people approximately at the shareholders meeting. That's because they don't open up the, skyboxes and things like that for just a meeting like this, just a general general meeting that, you know, lasts maybe an hour or so. They're not going to open up all the skyboxes, things like that. So it's not really approaching the 70,000 people that you see Lambeau Field typically holds for a game. So about 50,000 people, and you know, they just don't know how many are going to show up. You know, at 360,000 shareholders, is it out of the question that, you know, 70,000 shows up? So they fill Lambeau Field with 50,000, and then you still got 20 more thousand outside the door. So the Packers don't really, they said they have contingency plans. I don't know what those contingency plans are. They did not elaborate on them. You know, the thought that came to my mind is that somehow they're going to have a live feed at the Resch Center or something like that. That is the basketball arena that's really just a stone's throw away from Lambeau Field. That probably holds about 15,000 people. So if they have it on a big television board there, you know, that's possibly what's going to happen. So, you know, I really have no clue. That's just a hunch of mine. I see here on the live blog, Kyle Cousineau, KCousineau09, commenting, "I have a hunch this isn't going to end well." Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what they're going to do, how they're going to accommodate everyone. I mean, if it just ends up being about 50,000 people, and maybe it could be, maybe because of the one ticket limit, maybe that will discourage some people from coming. Maybe because it's being held on a Tuesday, that will discourage some people from coming. I don't really know. Comment from Rupert on the live blog. It could be the Woodstock of Packers owners. Does the Lambeau parking lot have room for 100,000 campers in tents? That's hilarious. So I don't know what the Packers will do. You know, maybe they'll open up the atrium, have a live feed in the atrium. I suppose they're including that as part of the capacity of Lambeau Field, though, perhaps. Maybe they'll set up a big video board in the parking lot. Certainly they'll have room in the parking lot to do that. You know, but what's really going to, the Packers are really going to like, regardless of how this plays out, regardless of how many people shows up, I mean, they're going to have almost a full stadium regardless. You know, I don't know if it's going to be 50,000, 70,000, or 90,000. But regardless, they're going to have almost a full stadium full of Packers fans, and the money they're going to bring in that day is going to be significant and substantial. You know, that the concession stands are going to be running. The Packers Pro Shop is going to be having some brisk sales that day. And this is all before, you know, the training camp gets ramped up in Green Bay. The training camp experience. So the shareholders meeting takes place on Tuesday. The players report to training camp on Wednesday. I don't think anything happens. They might have meetings. They might have physicals. But all they do is report. No practice the first day on Wednesday. And then on Thursday will be the first practice. So a lot of action in that time period here in late July that the Packers get things started as far as getting ready for the 2012 season. You can imagine a lot of people will be making pilgrimages to Green Bay as well. I mean, maybe the Tuesday date for the shareholders meeting might turn some people away, but you just know there's a ton of Packer fans out there still who will be making a pilgrimage to Green Bay. That's going to start on Tuesday. They'll stay Wednesday and then stick around for that first training camp practice on Thursday. And then throughout the weekend, they'll be having practice as well. So exciting times in late July in Green Bay. You know, I suppose I should mention on here, too, the reason for the Tuesday change, the reason the shareholders meeting is being held on a Tuesday is because of the weird schedule the Packers have this year. Maybe not weird, but You know, they play their first preseason game on a Thursday night. Typically, usually, the Packers open their preseason on a Saturday night. That's the way it's historically been. Not to say it's always that way, but just the way it works out. Typically, start their preseason action on a Saturday. So they have the shareholders meeting on Thursday. Well, with everything pushed up, you know, basically 2 days, they've had to push the shareholders meeting up just a couple days as well. So that's the reason for the change there. And apparently, they're holding the meeting at 9:30 a.m. in the morning. So better wake up a little bit earlier, everyone, that day as well. You know, otherwise it's also been on a at 11 a.m. In years past when they've held the shareholders meetings. Kyle Cousineau comments on the live blog, I don't know why they wouldn't offer two sessions, morning and afternoon. I know parking would be a pain, but at least they could accommodate up to 100,000 people. Yeah, I'm sure that's something they've considered. I suppose what they want to do, and kind of what the Packers said in a press release, is they want to find out what happens this year and make changes based upon that. Now, it certainly could be a headache for them this year if 100,000 people show up, but who knows? And you know what? The Packers, what they're going to bank on is, of course, this year is going to be the most popular shareholders meeting ever. And interest is going to slowly wane after that. That's what's happened in the last time they held a shareholder. You know, they sold stock back in 1998. The following shareholders meeting was like the most attended ever in history, and it's kind of slowly went down after that attendance has. So I think the Packers are imagining same thing's going to happen this year. They're going to have a big crowd this year, but it's going to slowly get smaller every year after that. So speculation here on my part about what's going to happen, but I think there's a little backup for it as well. And so the Packers announced dates for all their off-season events yesterday. I suppose in conjunction with the NFL draft, it's important to point out that the off-season or the rookie orientation camp is taking place two weekends after the draft. Been a little bit of a change there, too. Usually, the Packers would hold their rookie orientation camp one weekend after the draft, you know, almost immediately after all these new players are drafted and selected by the Packers. They come into Green Bay for the orientation. Well, Packers are pushing that back another week this week. So, 2 weekends after the draft, rookies come in. I'd like to know the reasoning behind that as well. I know it's actually kind of been a point of debate in the media on blogs about when you hold your rookie orientation camp. Some teams hold it one weekend after the draft. Some teams hold it 2 weekends. And what they actually do is for a very few select number of players, they hold tryouts during that weekend of orientation. Not guys who are drafted, not even the unsigned undrafted free agents, but the Packers will bring in about a dozen to 20 tryout players then. You know, so we're really getting down the list. So, you know, 350 players are drafted, and then about another 350 are signed in the NFL as undrafted free agents. And now, on top of that, they have tryouts. So, I mean, these are fringe guys, no doubt about it. But I've heard and read before that teams holding their orientation 1 week after training camp get the best tryout players because they want to try out first. And then, you know, they're signed by NFL teams. And then teams who hold their rookie orientation the second weekend, well, if teams don't make it, latch on with an NFL team the first weekend, then they try out again the second weekend. But, of course, the best players are gone and have been signed. So, we're really splitting hairs here, perhaps. I mean, the type of guy who is a tryout player, is basically... prospect number 700, 800, 900 on the list of the NFL's best college players. So, I mean, that these are not elite players. So maybe we're splitting hairs here, and maybe I've already analyzed this more than it's probably worth. But hey, when you're a Green Bay Packer fan, that's kind of what you do, right? You examine the minutia. You want the best team as possible. So even when the Packers are just trying out players, you want them to be the best players possible, right? That's what goes on in my head, at least. So, and I'm sure that's the way the Packers look at it as well. So, but I don't know why they're choosing their orientation camp to be 2 weeks later. Anyhow, they also announced the dates of their OTAs and mini camp. I forget those dates off the top of my head, but I mean, we're talking, May here, mid-May OTA start, organized team activities. That'll be the first time that the rookies will be able to practice with the rest of the team in mid-May. So, the Packers hold an orientation camp that's for rookies only, and I believe some first-year players who haven't played action in an NFL game before come along as well. Even though they might have been in the NFL last year, they never played. So that's what happens on orientation week. And then the following then, or after that, they have OTAs where the rookies can practice with the rest of the team. And, there's like 3 weeks of OTAs and then the mandatory mini camp after that. And then the Packers also announced, and you can check all this information at Cheesehead TV on our homepage when the show's over, but we have all the dates. There's dates open to the public as well to practice in mid-May and June and late May. So very cool. I suggest if you're in the Green Bay area, checking it out, going there. It's free at Ray Nitschke Practice Field. And, it's a good time to see these guys in action, especially the rookies who, it's the public's first chance a lot of times to see these guys. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers. But, more to the point or more of interest at this moment, I suppose, would be the NFL draft taking place tomorrow night. The Packers here, it's finally upon us, have a first-round draft choice, number 28 overall. And we can only speculate upon what the Packers are going to do. A little bit later today, I'm going to be posting my Packers mock draft. Not my Packers, just my NFL first-round mock draft. This is actually the first year I've been blogging since 2005. I've never done a mock draft before, a first-round mock draft. I've kind of always thought it was an exercise in futility, but I did it this year. We're sending out a supplement to all our people who have bought our NFL draft guide, our pro football draft preview from Cheesehead TV, who bought our digital publication, 99 pages. If you haven't gotten it already, I suggest you look at the top of the page where it says shop. Click that button, and so you can buy our draft guide. But everybody who did buy it, we're sending out a supplement today that just kind of includes a little bit of an update. It has an updated top 100 list from Paul Guillemette, has a feature article from our Zach Cruz, and I put together a first-round mock draft for the first time ever. I think this is my eighth season heading in here covering the Packers as a blogger. And the first time I've actually done a mock draft. So you'll find out my pick later today. So kind of interesting, though. It was tough to do. If you've never done a first-round mock draft, I had to. It took me hours to do, to look at what team needs are, perhaps, and who's going to be available, and who am I going to put in this slot, and then you look later, and you got to look back, who did I have going before, are they still available? It really was tough, and I can only imagine what the Packers go through, and every team goes through in the NFL during the actual draft, debating all these things, and who the best person available is. I'll just tell you that among the players that were available when I did my mock draft that the Packers could have chose from, these were some of the names I had available and open to draft. Courtney Upshaw, the linebacker from Alabama. Defensive linemen, a bunch of defensive linemen, actually. Kendall Rias of Connecticut. Jarrell Worthy of Michigan State. Devon Still of Penn State. And then, like, safety Harrison Smith of Notre Dame. So those were guys who were still on the board at number 28. So you'll see who I have the Packers. And probably, you know, for a lot of people, the people you want, the guys you want the Packers to draft, I think are going to be gone. You know, we're talking Melvin Ingram, the linebacker from South Carolina, Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback from South Carolina, Shane McClellan, the linebacker from Boise State. These type of guys I think are going to be gone. Dante Hightower, the linebacker from Alabama, gone. I don't think those guys will be available. So, that's what the Packers will be faced tomorrow evening. So what time does it start even? Somebody wanting to post that on the live blog if you've got it? What time does the draft actually start? Is it 7 p.m. Central Time? I don't even know. I got to check this out. In fact, I see on the live blog a little bit earlier here the question from Kyle Cousineau. Are we going to be going live after the draft pick tomorrow night? Exactly. So make sure to come to Cheesehead TV for your NFL draft coverage. We'll have the live blog going just like it looks today. Our homepage will look the same. It'll have the homepage taken over by the live blog and the broadcast. So I'll be broadcasting immediately after every Packers pick, providing instant analysis and reaction. And we'll have our whole stable of writers from Pro Football Draft Preview to provide analysis as well. I'll be calling those guys throughout the draft. So every time the Packers pick, I'll basically be coming on air. After the Packers pick in the first round, I'll be going on air for, you know, a special edition of Railbird Central. After the Packers pick in the second round, I'll be coming on air for another edition of Railbird Central. Same thing for the third round. In the fourth round, when the Packers have a bunch of supplementary picks there, or compensatory picks, I mean, I'll probably wait till those are over to come back on air again. So, you know, I'll probably be coming on air seven times throughout the course of the draft. Instant analysis and reaction. We've got Andrew Garda, who will be live at the NFL Draft at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. We'll be calling him throughout the course of the weekend. So very exciting stuff, you know, to be having people dispatched right there at New York City. So we'll be looking forward to that. So I hope you'll join us. You know, every hour the draft is on, our live blog is going to be going at Cheesehead TV. So Thursday night, Friday night, pretty much all day Saturday as rounds 4 through 7 are completed. So a lot of action going on. Really hope you join us, and it's going to be an exciting time as we're going to welcome as many as 12 new Green Bay Packers by the time the draft is over. So who those guys are, we can only guess right now. But there will be 12 new ones, and we welcome them with open arms, right? If you're a Packer fan, only wish them the best and hope they're the next crop that are wearing Super Bowl rings and bring another Lombardi trophy back to Green Bay. So exciting time, to say the least. But it's 9 a.m. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us this morning. We'll be back tomorrow night, a special edition of Railbird Central, so join us then. Thank you to Al Netter for joining us on the show today, Northwestern offensive lineman, a guy who might get his name called during the NFL draft, and that's going to do it. Have a good Wednesday, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by the Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.